is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew's a board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist. Tonight, we welcome to the show for the first time. What shall I call you? What title should I, other than James?
My name is,
yes, but what title
spiritual
do you go
medium.
By? All right, spiritual medium. That's good. That's good. It's solid. A lot of people get uptight. We call them a psychic. They don't like it. They call it medium. They don't like it.
Psycho is more like it for me.
Gypsy. They don't like it. I'm going to write down a spiritual medium. The Other Side, you remember that show, which was on for a couple seasons?
Yeah,
how many seasons was
that? Yeah, it's a couple seasons. Yeah, very good.
And I did watch. Well, here's the whole thing about the whole psychic thing and the spiritual medium and all that kind of stuff is nobody wants to believe it until the person says, let me tell you something I know about you, and then everyone shuts up,
and they become all ears.
Yeah. And that now that's, I guess, a narcissism, but possibly a healthy narcissism that all people have. Drew's wife had a psychic at her party, or maybe Drew's party, a couple of years back, and everyone in the party just stood in line the entire time.
Yeah.
Left Drew and I just standing there by the punch bowl, crying, talking about Loveline. And there was a line going out the pool cabana where people actually got into it with somebody. Remember, it's like I wanted to get a reading and they wanted to get a second reading. And I was like, I got to go. And they're like, I would get my third reading. My dog hasn't been read. And I ended up leaving without my reading. Who knows what fortunes I missed out on? One of your wife's dopey friends. The point is James, in general, I don't believe in this stuff. But we do have lots of weird things that go on in the show. We've had people in the past tell us things that we couldn't explain. Some people are better than others.
Right.
I will
definitely
tell you that.
As in every field.
Yes. Right. Why should it be any different than carpentry?
I heard Kenny Kingston on here once with a poor man. Remember?
Sweet spirit.
Sweet spirit.
Speaking of sweet.
I'm probably laughing at Kenny Kingston.
Super saccharine sweet spirit.
Sweet spirit.
Lap dog, traveling companion, old jag, going on a cruise. Sweet, sweet, sweet spirit. But we've had people in here that just do this one where they go, they throw out a name, you tell them, look, there's nobody I know by that name, and they tell you, think about it. And you say, look, I don't have to tell you give me the name Elroy, I'm going to tell you I don't work with anyone, no one in my family, don't know anyone. Think about it. Don't need to think about it any more than you need to think about a name you've never heard of.
I did that once in New York. It was funny. I was in an audience, like 200 people. And some people get psychic amnesia. Some people that want to hear one thing, but you give them something else, and they don't understand what you're throwing at them. I said, this lady's here, a mother, and you know this lady? The guy goes, yes, I think so. She wants to sell it to Tom. Do you know what, Tom? He goes, no. And the wife is hitting him. Honey, that's your name.
Wow.
So, I mean, stuff like that happens a lot,
well,
too.
Well, I would become the verbally abusive psychic once I found out. Like,
I start throwing things at him.
Yeah, I'd be like, Tom. And once I found out it was his name, I'd say, you know your own goddamn name? I curse you to hell. And I would have a thunderclap. And a sparkler go off just
be
to
fair,
freak everyone
whatever,
out.
Whatever profession you chose, Adam, you'd be the abusive
I'd
Phil
be
LeBlanc.
Phil LeBlanc, conductor.
Music director. Sweet spirit.
Yes. Rehab specialist. work with a handicap. You just fill whatever. Yeah. Special needs teacher. Yeah. Whatever it is, you just put abusive in front of that. So
I'm going to tell you, I'm a big fan of this show. I've been listening for years. I'm telling Drew. I mean,
wow.
To be here. No, every night I listen to it. I'm telling you. I've been waiting to get... I can't believe I'm here. So,
wow.
Thanks a lot.
Impressive. Well, listen, we're glad to have you.
That's great.
And so the new show, by the way, that James is executive producer on, not
do you write,
talent
write
on.
Some of it, too?
I'm helping the writers out with it because they don't know this world, so I help them with
is
that.
Is the Ghost Whisperer, which has Jennifer Love Hewitt, who I've had a crush on since it was before it was legal to have crushes on her.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Her.
Yeah. Always been into her.
Yeah.
Good person.
She's right in your wheelhouse. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's right in my wheel. She's got a nice rack on her. Yeah. She's
brown hair.
Hip, got the brown hair.
And she's a good person, too.
I don't care about her.
No. Don't ruin it for her. Don't ruin it.
Come on.
Nice brown eyes. Sweet spirit.
And she forces people to call her love. Which I like. I don't know if she's done
that.
That
was her name. She was born with that name.
Really?
And then Jennifer, that's what she was born with.
Her
mother gave her
love.
That's the name she gave her. But then Hollywood had said Jennifer. They want to call her Jennifer.
Then I like Aisha Tyler.
Oh, Aisha Tyler.
She's great.
Yeah.
Great.
She's in my wheelhouse, too.
She's the smartest female comedian, would you say?
Yeah.
On the planet.
Well, female comedians are all such a mess.
But they're smart, usually. But she's
super
smart.
Well, they're smart, but a mess. She's not a mess. She's a
very bright lady.
Oh.
Very bright.
And a tall glass of Nubian warriorship. She's like a big brown milkshake.
Well, can I use that in
She's
the press?
Hot. She's a good-looking lady. She's sassy. She's smart. I mean, you couldn't have done much better than Aisha Tyler and Jennifer Love Hewitt.
No, it's great.
And so you're executive producer of Ghost Whisperer, which coming on CBS on Fridays at 8 o'clock, which I've been seeing a pretty big push for.
Oh yeah.
So do you look at yourself as sort of technical advisor as well?
Yeah, exactly. What happens is I came up with this idea. I had a TV show about 2 years ago called Beyond. It was a daytime series, and we had a section on that show with paranormal specialists. And one of the producers found this lady in Cleveland who's a real ghostbuster.
Mm-hmm.
Now, me being the skeptic, which believe it or not, I am. I'm very skeptical. People that say they can do these sorts of things.
Yeah, it's like Cruise that way with doctors. He thinks they're all sawbones. He hates them all.
You have to be though. Yeah. See, especially in this field.
That's the way I am with Ty Pennington. I'm a carpenter, but I don't believe this guy's carpenter.
You are that way.
That's what happens. All right, so you're the same. That's
exactly. So I was like very skeptical, and I, tested these people, and I met her, and we did went to Oklahoma, this house in Oklahoma, which was haunted supposedly. She gave names of the people that were haunting it, the graveyard they buried in, stuff you couldn't find on a computer or anything. It's like, come on, she could find this on computers.
Right.
It was right on.
Do you think that women have a more natural capacity for this just because of their capacity to
intuit.
Yeah.
Be intuitive.
Well, they have to be having birth. I mean, giving birth, you have to be someone instinctive and intuitive. You have to be for survival and especially with children.
Do you think it's all that part of our brain, that right part?
I think it's part of it. Yeah. Certainly, I think that's part of it, a good part of it. I think it's your makeup in general as a whole, but definitely women, the survival instinct, and I definitely think that's a big part
of
it.
So what
And women are much more feeling. They go more with their emotions, where men are more left brain, women more tend to be right brain.
The guys feel like sharks do with their mouth. You know what I mean? Like they always do that. Sharks just testing you out. Just want to see what you're made of. I got no leg. Yeah. Just testing you out. No other way you could do that? No. He didn't mean anything.
Right.
Worse.
Yeah.
I have no leg.
Yeah, meant nothing by it.
He wasn't hungry. I feel worse. I have no leg now. I wish he'd eaten my leg.
Right.
This is like
gone to some good.
Kill a chicken and just shooting it into a jet engine to test the propeller blades. You know? It's like, what kind of... And then what happens?
It happens for a reason.
Does your leg have a soul, by the way? Or is that all in your brain? You know what I mean? Like, what if a shark gets your leg? They get, like, 20% of your soul? You know what I'm saying?
Well, you have a spirit body, which is in the physical body. It's just a...
Shark, that's the one the shark eats.
Yeah, the physical.
Right.
But they get part of that.
Shark can never take the spiritual part of me?
No.
That's the part I don't need, though. I want the spiritual part so I can get up off
like
the goddamn
meat.
Sofa.
They get
doesn't
the
taste
meat.
Very good. Not much of it.
Yeah.
Not much to it.
Soul food.
All right, so let's try to break this down, because Drew and I... while not spiritual mediums or psychics.
Well, you're very intuitive.
We're intuitive. We're intuitive, yes, but a lot of that intuition is based on repetition. We hear what people's voices sound like, and your mind starts to categorize, I believe.
No, I've heard you guys all the time, and you are intuitive, because there's a part of you, which is your senses, which are your sight, is shut off, because you don't see the people, but you hear their voice.
Right.
And many times when I hear the voice, it puts in this thoughts in your head, or you get feelings from that voice.
Exactly.
And you've given incredible advice just based on that person's voice.
How they make you feel.
And yes, you've heard cases, and certain cases repeat themselves, and a certain behavior, but you have intuitive stuff, and you go to bets about people's behavior, and you're right on.
Well, so then the
question... So part of that's intuitive, and part of that might be from doing it all the time.
The question is about this stuff, because there's a hocus-pocus side of this that I want no part of, but then there's a part that I think there are parts of the brain that are unknown or untapped into that have little spikes and flashes and show themselves every once in a while. And I feel it on this show. We're just talking along to somebody, and I say, I just bring up batting cage or something out of nowhere, and it turns out the chick's boyfriend works at a batting cage. You know,
well, hello, what's that?
I don't know where. I don't know why it jumped into my head. It wasn't something we talked about earlier.
What's more mysterious is the girl he raises this with doesn't seem at all impressed.
That's the part that's
truly mysterious.
TV show on. Yeah, the Tard Whisperer. I bring up the fact that her boyfriend works in a batting cage, and she just blows it off and keeps moving.
Sure,
and
then, yeah, that's my boyfriend.
No,
anyway.
No, 10 minutes later, I go, seriously, what's the guy do for a living? She's like, works at a batting cage.
Unbelievable.
Like, you didn't want to bring it up the first time, huh?
Well, you know, I sort of throw at you, which is, I tell people this too, especially working in radio and television. You're working in radio, so you're sending out your voice into the air. Mm. But, you know, you look up in the air, you don't see your voice there, but yet people receive it on the receivers. So what is that about? Just because you don't see the voice in the airwaves doesn't exist?
Right.
So I tell people that because we're so used to a physical world, in a three-dimensional world, you have to see, feel, the five senses. But there's things that exist you don't see. So that thing doesn't exist.
So now you believe, I mean, you communicate with people that have passed on, right?
Correct. Out of the physical dimension.
Right. And what's left behind is the spiritual body, let's just call it. And does it go somewhere or is it here amongst us?
Well, good point.
I never know if you're up looking down, you're down looking up. Where
it
are
depends
you?
Different with different people. Like the show I'm doing, this Ghost Whisperer, is based on earthbound spirits. So there are those spirits who pass out of the body. Everybody passes out of their body when they die.
Right.
And these people are people who haven't finished, maybe it's unfinished business. Maybe something's not resolved. And supposedly, there's a light for everybody when they pass out of the body, and they go to that light. But there are some people that don't. They stay earthbound.
Right.
So, but then there are most people go into the light, and they see relatives standing there. You know, people that near-death experiences and so forth, they've described this light, this sort of thing. And what happens is this dimension, if you will, is all around us. It's interdimensional. So fourth, fifth, sixth dimension, interdimensional. And I'm able to attune myself to that higher dimension, if you will.
How'd you learn to do that?
You know the movie The Sixth Sense?
Yeah.
That was my story. That was, you know,
You were a kid.
That was my story. I was a kid like that. I used to see spirit as a kid. I see lights around people, colors around people, which are the aura.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know what it was. And I thought, you know, I'm from New York, and I was thinking, what is going on here? I thought everybody could see these things. And I said to my mom, who are those people with the lights behind them? She goes, oh, you see them too? She goes, those are God's angels. Don't worry. I used to see them when I was a little girl. They'll always take care of you and protect you. So I never was raised with a sense of this is weird or this is unnatural. To me, it was very natural. And the people that didn't see these things, I thought they were weird.
Yeah.
So I was raised with it. It was never a fear thing with me at all.
Right.
I remember in first grade, I said to my teacher, 6 years old, and I said to my teacher, I walked up to her, I said, your son John just got hit by a car. But don't worry, he's going to be okay. He just broke his leg.
Wow.
And she goes, go back to your seat. I said, okay. And 5 minutes later, the principal comes in, and she pulls her out of the room, teacher. She comes back, and she starts crying. She goes, James, come here. Yes. He goes, how did you know that? How did you know that? And I started crying, thinking I created it with my thoughts, right? As a kid, you think this. And she really saved my life. She really helped me, that lady, because she said, listen, God gives people certain gifts, abilities of doing something. Maybe one day you'll help people with this ability, so don't worry about it. So just think if she was, and it was a Catholic school.
Could have freaked her
out. It was a Catholic
school.
Remember
her name?
Yeah, I remember her name. Yes, I do. Her name was Mrs. Stasel.
Mrs.
Stasel.
Right.
Yeah. But imagine if she was a nun in those days.
Yeah.
You know, go to hell or whatever.
No, I would have given you a good exorcism. I would have got something out of you.
Yes.
Their devil would have been
an extra holy communion.
So you've always had this. You've always seen this.
So as a kid, and I shut down around puberty because I was thinking about the things in those days.
Sure.
And then I moved out here to be a sitcom writer in my early 20s because I'm funny. So I thought, you know, I'll just pursue
that. You don't have to be funny to write a sitcom.
Exactly.
That's what I found out. Yeah.
And
when
I was working at the time at a talent agency, William Morris Agency, which is funny. He's in the basement pulling staples out of contracts 8 hours a day.
Wow.
Not even the mailroom. I was below the mailroom.
Wow.
Yeah, below the mailroom.
It's like the toothpaste girl on Earth. It's like toothpaste cap.
Monotonous.
Had used a hatch to get down there. Yeah. It wasn't even stairs.
Right. But he's these contracts with Lucille Ball and Groucho Marx. Oh, that's kind of cool. And maybe I got to be here for some reason. I feel like I got to be here for some reason. Maybe I'll be an agent who'll get me a sitcom. I met a lady there, and she said, do you want to go see a medium? And I said, what the heck is that? She said, he's someone who talks to the dead. And I said, you know what? I really don't believe in that. I think it's a bunch of crap. I don't believe it.
How old were you at the time?
I was raised Catholic. I was about 23, 24. And she goes, well, did you just go with me? I said, yeah, all right, fine. I'll just make fun of the guy, whatever. I walk in the room, and the guy goes, you're a medium. I said, well, thank you. I'm kind of short, but thank you very much. But he goes, no, in 2 years' time, the spirit people want to use you. You're a sensitive. You have this ability. I said, I don't know about that. But he did a reading. He brought through people that my family had passed over, things about me no one knew about. It was like blew me away, that sort of thing, right? So I was like, this is kind
of wild.
Where's
that guy?
He's in Reseda, California.
He's still here.
Still here. Still doing his thing. Yeah, still doing his thing. Once a week now he has group meetings. Anyway, I was then promoted to a job at Paramount in the contract department. Not in the basement, but actually
not
the syndication
not the
department.
Staple of the contract. Right. The actual contract
Contract department. And there was a girl there, and she was doing astrology, and I was like, it was weird. I looked over at her, and I saw this lady standing behind her. And this thought came to me about Idaho and a yellow house with white shutters and needlepoint or something. And I was like, what the heck? I said, Joe, do you understand this? This lady here, you might think this is weird, but, you know, what do you think of this? And this Idaho, and this. She goes, wow, I can't believe you're saying this. She said, every summer I used to go visit my grandmother in a house in Idaho, yellow house with white shutters. And the last thing she did was teach me how to do needlepoint. And she made a promise to me that if she could ever come back, she had to say hello to me. She would tell me.
So,
and I was like, freaked me out.
So the feeling is that this person is in the presence of her granddaughter.
Yeah, you know. So,
or is
so
it that her granddaughter is exuding it?
No. So that, you know, when sometimes you're walking, you feel like someone's standing behind you, and you there's something. No. It's that sense.
I get that at urinals. Yeah, at the airport.
And shutters.
I don't know where you go to the urinals, but I would change.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. It's that sense. I mean, to describe it to people, that's a sense that you have. Like,
but you were saying, is it possibly something that the individual is exuding from their past that you pick up on?
I mean, could they be like a projector and you're the screen? Which means there's not an actual person there. You're just coming off them like they ate garlic.
Just the way we hear abuse and stuff, you see. Yeah. They're the people that went in, important in their life.
And I also saw some mind reading. Maybe it's mind reading. Maybe something they're projecting out from their past.
Right,
maybe
it's
that sort of thing. And I thought that too, because I'm very analytical, I'm very skeptical. But then information would come through that person knew nothing about, like family history. I remember when there was adoption, someone said it's a Mercy Hospital or something, and it was this person where they were. Weird stuff that they would not know about, and they went home and checked it. So it's not even within their reality. So that's what blew me away.
Well, I would argue, though, there's still a way, as long as we're talking about different levels that are not known,
not
that
conscious.
People know things that they don't know or have a way of exuding things that they don't know they're exuding.
And there's different levels of consciousness. So there's different levels of consciousness also. And the consciousness, which we really got to understand, is outside the body. So your consciousness is not limited to the physical body. The consciousness is outside the physical body as well.
What do you see anything off, Drew? She got an aura. What color is this aura?
Anxious. It makes me nervous.
Actually, I think.
But I see you writing. I don't know if you're going to write another book or you're thinking about writing a book. There's a book around you.
Yeah, but
really strong.
Yeah,
and it's a really good book.
Every time I'm around a psychic, they say that.
It's so important.
Yeah. Because I go on the internet and I see you crap one out every 4 months. That's why.
No.
I'm sure you
do. True doesn't have an aura.
It's a thick book. It's a thick book. It's like a manual either. It's a good book. But I see a book around
the story.
And the weird thing is the cover is red. It's like a red cover on it.
Well, now he's going to make it red.
I don't even remember I said this. And a lot of people up to me like years later say, you told me. I remember very strongly, some lady comes up to me at a party. She goes, you told me that I was going to have a tumor in my left fallopian tube. I said, what? She goes, yes, you told me I had a fibroid cyst. I said, really? And she goes, yeah. She goes, and I don't believe you. And then she goes, I just came from the doctor. And I don't remember what I get. It comes in and goes out.
That's
not my stuff. You know?
That's a good question, which is negative news. And by the way, I would argue that Drew doesn't have an aura, but a bora. it's a boring, super boring aura. You can see it's a brown haze
blue
that floats
bora.
Around his head.
Yeah. He's a teacher.
So now, the one part about the whole psychic thing is they do that thing where it's like, you know, they the one goes over to Drew's place. He sees all the yentas at the party. She does 30 readings and everything's positive, you know. And you think to yourself, well, come on now, someone's got to get in a car crash. Yeah. Someone's kid's gonna, you know, get a disease. I mean, as long as you're looking down the road, and we're all gonna die some sooner, some later. And there's going to be some tragedy times 30, 50-year-old women. There's going to be something there. How come we don't hear about that? And, of course, they want to freak anybody out. And I think these people don't want the messenger to get punished. And they figure, look, they start talking crap, they're not going to invite it back. Freak everyone. People are going to start crying.
So my work, what is, I feel is a responsibility with what you do. With this type of work, you have people, just like your type of work, you have people there that are listening to you. They're vulnerable. And you have to be responsible. And my agreement with the spirit world, when I started doing this work, was if you give it to me, I got to give it out. Now, it's up to me as how I'm going to give this out. Like, there are people out there irresponsible saying, you're going to die next week or whatever. the wrong thing to say. So you say, have you been to the doctor lately? Have you had something checked up? You've got to be very careful, and you got to be responsible. And a lot of people are out there who aren't responsible.
Oh,
and
no.
As the ones who I, you know.
So
just,
you would send somebody, you would tell somebody
if I'm
to go
information,
get checked up.
Oh, yeah, I've saved lives of people.
Tell them to go get, and what if they laughed it off?
That's their choice.
You wouldn't feel like, I don't know, like you have to intervene.
That's not my job. My job is to give the information out. Whether they take it or not, that's fine. If they believe it or not, that's fine. I don't care.
Hey, that's what I say on this show.
I don't care. Exactly.
Listen, put on a condom.
There's something in common here.
You screwed up teenagers, go to hell. I'm the same way. I get paid the same.
Adam says I don't care a lot.
Yes, I've heard him.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I like your attitude. That's a good attitude to have.
Well, try to impart your knowledge and wisdom.
How about Adam coming off him?
Yeah, what do you got coming up?
When's your birthday? I want to know your birth sign.
May 27th.
So you're a Gemini.
Oh, yeah.
Well, see, with you, I feel there's a creative part of you which has not even been expressed yet. There's like not even...
Nah, you know what? I think it's the opposite. I feel tapped out creatively. I don't feel like I got anything left.
You're really good with color, like putting colors around, designing something to color, like in a room or putting things together.
Yeah.
And I think you haven't done that yet. You know, you really want to. You still haven't done it yet with color and paint or designing a room. And I feel almost like I want to paint or I want to do something with, like, even the paints you hang up, that sort of thing.
You got to do it.
Painting.
Fine art.
Painting.
Ooh.
Painting. Not like people, just like colors and not figures. But
modern.
You're really good with color and you got to do it. And you're also... Mm-hmm. You know, you struggle a lot. You're conflicted, but that's...
Yeah.
No, there's like two parts of personality.
What do you mean conflicted?
You're like a Gemini type of personality. You have two different personalities, and you get pulled in a lot emotionally with stuff, which later you say, oh, shoot, I shouldn't have done that. My emotions ran into it, and I shouldn't have...
I run a little at the mouth, but no, actually...
But then you analyze things after that. So there's the emotional, then there's analytical. I shouldn't have done that. What did I do that for? That whole thing happens.
Nah, I'm going to go with no. True. Okay. You know me. What do you think?
You don't care.
Thank you.
There you go.
You don't care enough to be analytical.
No, I mean, I don't know. I'm probably saner than most comedians.
Yes.
And maybe a little less self-conscious.
Yes.
And don't read that. I don't read. That's my whole thing. I just keep moving.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Huh?
But you know, you learn by like all the little things. You do many things. Where some people like learn something from the beginning, middle, and end of it. You just scratch the surface and move on to something else because you're bored very quickly. You go.
Yeah, I do. I do.
And you got to change your environment a lot. You got to change around you a lot because you get bored too quickly. You know?
Yeah, I do get bored
too quickly. I mean, you're fast. And if you have people that are around you that bore you, bye bye.
No. If that were true, Drew would have been gone a long, long time.
What you say,
ago.
But you go for more than 2 hours, that'd be it. You wouldn't handle it.
Oh, that's true. See? Yeah. All right. What name is that?
Angela.
Angela?
Yeah.
Angela. Yes.
Yeah. I don't know why it didn't read to me. Angela, you're 26. What's up?
I'm 26. Well, I have an issue. I've been with my boyfriend for 4.5 years. I've been raising his 6-year-old since she was one, and we have two together. He recently, in the last about four months ago, he went to a concert in a different town. Well, he spent the night spending large amounts of money at strip clubs.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found the receipts from it.
Find the credit card bill?
Actually, it was, he withdrew it from his checking account.
ATM?
How does the receipt work? Does it identify as a strip club?
They'll usually just say like bistro or something generic on there. I know. They don't want to humiliate you. That's it. They don't have cheetahs or crazy girls. Doesn't show up in, like glitter paint on your Amex.
I have a girlfriend that lives in the town that he went to, and I asked her what it was, and she was like, "Well, it's a strip club."
Okay. So what was it called? Just out of curiosity.
I can't even remember now.
But it had like a generic name.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wouldn't have known if she hadn't told me.
That's my point. Yeah. All right.
Well,
you gotta take a psychic to know that.
Morning, when I confronted him, he proceeded to lie to me and tell me all these crazy stories, and I didn't let him know I knew until, you know, finally I was just like, quit lying.
All right. So here's the question. Did he go there with a group of guys?
He went there with one of his male friends.
A good friend.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. To me, the only reason I say that, because there's a huge difference that women would probably not recognize in 6 or 8 guys going to a strip club and you going solo. You going solo and dropping some bucks and staying there all night, you got something going on.
And by the way, that's not a part-time gig.
No. You going with a group of guys, that means far less.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a bunch of stuff like that that women don't actually know about.
Scale.
Yeah, that is definitely one of them. So, how much did he spend, by the way?
That night, almost 300.
Oh, so there have been other nights.
That would have been a light night for me and Jimmy.
Oh, have you ever made it in with less than that? Jimmy especially.
Oh. Well, it's a major issue for me because, for one, he's an alcoholic. He's an abusive alcoholic. He tears up. He abuses himself more than anything.
All right.
Well, that's a bigger issue here than the strip club.
But. Yeah. So what are you hanging that's with this issue. Guy for? And why are you crapping out the kids with this guy?
Well,
because your dad was an alcoholic, right?
Well, because I love him, for one.
Dad was really an alcoholic, too.
I know, it sounds corny.
Dad would have been an abandoning, abusive
sweet
alcoholic.
Sweet spirit just into my mind and told me that her dad was an alcoholic.
A little codependency. Drunk. He's, you know, fun to be around. He's, you know, I don't
your
know.
Dad, but your person. Dad had a problem with alcohol, and this guy's a problem with alcohol.
Well, he's been an alcoholic since he was 14.
So about your dad or you this, your husband?
My boyfriend.
Your boyfriend.
Whatever. I know. Now, what about your dad, though?
My father. Well, my life growing up kind of sucked, really. I didn't have my dad in my life.
Because, like I said, an abandoning, abusive alcoholic.
All right. And good.
My
your
mother
kids.
Was an alcoholic. And sure.
There you go. Well, you got a legacy. You got to keep going.
The circle of life. Got to keep it going.
Yeah. So your kids will have that
right,
when you kick this
the deal.
Guy out.
Here's the only thing that you can do. Don't worry about the strip clubs. This is part of his alcoholism and his compulsive arousing pursuits that he's into. You can go to Al-Anon. You can get a sponsor. You can work the 12 steps, and you then will not engage. Or you can get yourself a counselor. It's a little bit more expensive that way. But you then will disengage from this dance. Okay, go to Al-Anon. Look, and then he needs to do something about his alcoholism. That's it. But you can't control that, and you can't make him get better.
Look, I'll tell you my feeling. Quite honestly, I don't want people like this. I'm not sure what Angela's going to do.
Kids.
I just want her frozen. I don't want to kill her, but I don't think she's going to heed anything you tell her. I don't think she's going to go to Al-Anon. She's going to stick with this guy. There's going to be more chaos.
More kids.
These kids are going to experience more chaos.
They're going to
Then
drink.
The kids are going to start spinning out. Then they're going to become our problem because they're going to get into drugs. They're going to get into crime. They're going to get into prostitution. Right. And then they become society's problems. And we as a society are not interested in addressing this at all. Everyone, close your eyes and picture an election year where anything was even touched on, even closely. About the closest those pussies ever get to anything is No Child Left Behind, which doesn't mean ass to anybody. It's just an antiquated sort of ism that just sounds nice. It doesn't mean anything. It's like saying, say no to drugs. That's the best you idiots could do? Say no to drugs? No Child Left Behind? Is that your plan?
Mm-hmm.
What's your plan for terrorism? Knock it off?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, no, you got to get the fire up the Hummer and get the hell over there and start kicking some ass.
Right.
You got to come up with a plan. You can't just, hey, go ahead and do the right thing, you junkies. Go ahead and do the right thing, you abuse survivors. It makes me sick. I mean, I understand there's going to be Angela's.
Well, you know, A, first of all, everything happens for a reason.
Everything happens for a reason,
and B, you got to choose to get over these things.
Yeah, I wonder about the people that guide this country. I just wonder why it's never an issue, why it's never addressed. It's almost taboo to delve into anything that has any relevance at all, unless it's just some worn-out cliche you want to crap out onto a microphone by saying, no child left behind. Yeah, I believe that. But my ass. Go do something about it.
It's all surface. All surface.
It's nothing. And we just gobble it up like catfish dragging along the bottom.
It's not so much we gobble that stuff up, but we're aversive to anything else.
Yes.
Well, we're fearful of it.
And I also think people don't want to take responsibility. So it's much easier just saying these things and not doing the action that needed.
Yeah, I mean, of course everyone's a mess. I just really blame the folks that are in charge who should be making...
creating forces
that affect this so that our future, so our kid doesn't get stabbed by her kid.
But you know what, then also, Adam, you know, she has a choice to make. So it's up to her. I mean, we can blame the government, but it comes down to her too now.
No,
she has a choice.
I don't want to say I blame the government, and she does have a choice, but here's the deal. When a large percentage of the population has a choice and they're all making the wrong choice, we got to intervene. Because we left it up to them to make a choice and they made a bad choice.
Right.
It's like saying, don't lock your store door. Leave the store open at night. People have a choice. No. Bolt it up.
If you don't, we're going to have to see what you do.
Yeah, get on the roof like a Korean. That 30-06. That's his choice. All right, here we go. Let's take a break. Yeah?
James?
Oh, you're killing me.
Powerful weapon.
You're killing me.
Powerful gun. James Von Prague is here tonight. Got a little show called The Ghost Whisperer. It's funny that I'm trying to, the mind works. My wife just told me, speaking of a psychic, she says, you got to get that dog whisperer on the show. She blurts out tonight for no good reason.
There we go.
And I was like, what do I want that idiot on the show for? So we got to find out what Molly's thinking. She says, what's my dog? I said, I know what Molly's thinking. Molly's barking at nothing and smelling her ass and eating everything and falls on the ground. What do you mean she's not thinking anything? We got to find out what she's thinking. like there's a human trapped inside the dog. This is how women think, by the way. Find out, Molly. See, we got to find out how you're thinking. Get the chick whisperer. See if we can find out what's going on in those minds of theirs. Find out what the dog's thinking. Dog's got a brain size of an acorn. It's not thinking about anything. Doesn't even. That dog thinks you're a dog who walks on his back legs and drives a car. He's thinking. The dog, I can't get the dog. I drive the car down the drive and the dog sleeps in front of the car. I honk the horn. It doesn't even look at me. It's not thinking, obviously.
Oh, it must be thinking something.
It's thinking something. Now. There's a big metal cow that's rolling toward
me
with a large horn. All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back after this. Okay. Oh, we're on. Down, sweet spirit.
Anderson there?
No.
It's Todd.
Todd, count me down, baby. All right, phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. That's Dr. Drew. James Von Prague is here tonight. Got himself a little book called Looking Beyond, Teen's Guide to the Spiritual World. I'm guessing...
I have a website, people I want to check
out.
Oh,
yeah. You just go to www.vonprague.com. And Von Prague is
Dutch.
P-R-A-A-G-H. Yes.
Oh, hello to everybody in my chat room who's listening. I have a huge international chat room.
Oh, I'll
bet. Free chat, you know, things free.
Yeah, it's cool. The one thing.
It's a service I give out to, you know, people who want to go to somewhere for grieving and just to talk to people. Mm. Yeah.
Damn. Now, how much, see, I'm an atheist. And, you know, when somebody dies, I just grieve. You know what I mean? It must bring a lot of comfort to people to think, oh, they're there, they're happy, they're doing great. You know what
I
mean?
A lot of people said to me, you know, I was going to commit suicide, and I read many books, and I decided not to. So that makes it all worth it.
What happens when you commit suicide?
It depends on the suicide. It depends on the motive behind it. Ooh. So, if, for instance, if your stock went down on Intel and you decide to kill yourself, it's a lot different than someone who has a brain chemistry disorder.
Oh, interesting.
Which there are, as you know. So Tom Cruise was wrong about that.
I know.
You get off your meds and you have an episode and you kill yourself. It's not looked at as the same way as you wanting to pay back your girlfriend.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
All right.
And then, you know, the worst part of suicide, this is very interesting. One of my readings did years ago, when I used to do private readings, a lady came to me and I didn't know anything about her. And I said, there's a man here, her son. And I said, he's showing me. And it was really, really weird. He actually showed me. And I actually was almost like experiencing this. He was showing it to me, putting a rope around a tree and then around his neck, hung himself, popped out of his body. And first thing he says, what did I do? I tried to get, couldn't get back in. He couldn't get back in. And the next thing he said, what did I do to my parents? Then he felt really bad about the people left behind. And that's common. People will find after the people left behind, that's the guilt comes in then.
Mm-hmm. This is like your jumping off the bridge story.
Yeah, I was watching a show on, I don't know, Discovery or something, and they interviewed about the three or four people that actually lived after attempting to commit suicide by jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge. The Golden Gate Bridge, they kill like 1,000 people a year or something. It's like thousands of people dying. Mm-hmm. And but every once in a while, for some reason or another, somebody makes it. And whenever they interview the person, they say, the first thing that I thought when I jumped, as soon as I was 2 feet from the ledge, first thing I thought was, why'd I do it?
Yeah.
Bad idea.
Yeah.
Bad idea.
Bad idea.
Which is a horrible way to spend the last 150 feet of your life. You know what I mean?
Ugh. Exactly.
Yeah. See, that's why when I kill myself, I go drugs and carbon monoxide, because you don't have why to do it. You just go, you're just looking at a reflection of yourself in the mirror going, I'll kick your ass, dude.
Oh, my.
You know, then there are people here on this earth who can't handle it. I mean, I think there are some people that come back before their time, or they have too much on their plate, and they just can't handle it.
Yeah.
A lot of people say, I don't feel like I'm in the right time, or something's not right about things. Mm. And I find that's a lot of people who come back before their time.
Wow. All right, well, let's. I want to. There's a question for James over here, Becky. who's 26. Becky?
Yeah. Hi, Adam.
What's up?
Well, I actually lost my dad a few years ago, and I was wondering if James could tell me anything. I've read all of your books, James. I think you're fantastic.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much. I'm not necessarily doing readings like that tonight because I have to prepare myself. But
how do you prepare yourself?
I meditate beforehand quite a bit.
Okay.
Internet, get some dirt on the hose. stuff, you know?
No. So it's like you got to prepare yourself. You got to put yourself in a receptive space. In this environment, it's, you know. It's
well, let me ask you.
Like Howard Stern, I didn't do readings either. Larry King, I do something like that.
Let me ask you this. Is there, first off, do you ever just go to read somebody and nothing's coming?
Definitely.
No, right. Same time,
yeah,
stuff
definitely.
Just pop in sometimes.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. I'll be sitting with someone in a store and something comes in.
No.
I was working out with a trainer once and I said, some lady's here named Ellen. She's talking about Atlanta and oatmeal. So that's my grandmother. She raised me. She's feeding me oatmeal every morning. I said, would you please? I'm paying for this training session. It's my time here. Come on.
Yeah.
But it just pops in your head, you know. Even when you're driving a car. You know,
do you see something or is it just a thought?
It comes in different ways. I'll see a vision or I'll feel something or I'll hear thoughts in my head. Thoughts like, you know, like we have. Like I have to go to the store and buy milk or whatever. Yeah, it's like that. Those thoughts come through like that. So it depends on how they're going to send it to me.
And when you see stuff, what do you see?
Flashes. I'll see a face or I'll see a scene of something or I'll see the type of some kind of clothes they're wearing or a tattoo or whatever it is. And what I'm known as a survival evidence medium, which means I bring through, my job is to bring through evidential details, names, places, events that no one knows about, which proves survival of consciousness.
Well, what about police work?
I used to do work with police in different all over the country, and I used to work with government agencies. And I stopped doing that. I did kidnap cases. I was specializing in that. And one day I couldn't take it because I saw this guy had this 3-year-old girl in his car, and I saw it very clearly. And he, put his hand over and slapped her in the car, and it was like, whoa. And then I saw him kill her with a shovel, hit her over the head, and then buried her. And that's when the last one I did. I couldn't do that.
Did they find her?
Years and years ago. I don't remember. It was down near Louisiana somewhere.
That is the one part about the whole thing that feels, it gives it validity, is the ones that actually work with the cops, which is a weird line. And oftentimes, usually seems like women, tell the cops where the body is or what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
And although 9 times out of 10, it's always somewhere. It's near a river. Yeah, no ass. What do you think? It's in the middle of a Macy's? It's always near a river.
When you give street names. When you give street names.
Yeah, I want to hear street names. Yeah, it's by a rock. There's a tree. It's in the river. Yeah. Didn't bury them on the top of a Winnebago that's parked in a parking lot. They drag them out to the wherever. But they use these people
all
and
the
go
time,
find them.
But you don't hear it all the time. But you will not hear it because you'll never hear a police agency or government agency say they use psychics. You will never hear it because they won't admit it. But they use them, I'd say, a good 80% of the time.
Wow.
And they can't get anywhere with their cases, they'll call someone up.
In
Aruba right now, they had like 5 or 6 people they called.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Did you go down there? Or do you have any thoughts about it?
I didn't want to do it.
Do you have any thoughts about it?
Yeah. Yeah, she's buried in the water.
Yeah. Buried, not I mean like sunk in the water.
She's like cemented with chains and cement. She's in the water.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, they weighted her down.
Yeah.
They're draining the ocean? I think they're draining the Arubian Ocean.
Is she attached to her, or she's in cement?
No. Like she's chained down, like around the legs or
but they, you decompose, you fall apart, though, right?
Well, she's not been in that long.
They'll find. I think they're going to eventually find her. But I think, they know where to put her. I think it's like in a cove area.
Far. Corpses are weird things, you know? It's like, we cased her in cement, threw her in the back of threw her in the bottom of Lake Huron. It's like, then she popped up. What? I swear people swim better when they're dead. I swear to Christ, Drew.
You get to shore more often, that's for sure.
They make it to shore. Yeah, it's always some guys doing some shore fishing, finds the body. They hacked them up. They weighted them down. They went 30 miles off the cut, but boom, the person's back. You know what I mean? Like, you wouldn't think it would be that tall an order to get rid of a corpse. A corpse is, it's 5'7" by 18 inches wide, and there's plenty of land, there's plenty of sea, there's plenty of lakes, there's plenty of woods. Nope, they show up. You know what I mean?
You got to know where to hide them. Right? I mean, local people would know where, especially the fishing all the time. No, I don't have a sense of who did it. I know it's people right there, local. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
But, it's the people who knew the island, who knew what to do. And I think it was, in a way, accidental kind of thing. It wasn't meant to happen. Right. It was...
They freaked out.
You know, they freaked out. She was not completely innocent, I feel, you know.
Well, that's why. This, really, this happens. You know? People get loaded. I think what happens is...
I think it happens more than we hear about it, too.
Oh, yes. I think what happens is they slip the chick a roofie, or they just get them loaded. They put something in their drink. Right, they feed them drugs.
Right.
There's drugs, there's illegal stuff involved.
Right. Or something happens.
Even though it's not out-and-out rape, there's a little strong-arming involved. Next thing you know, chick's heart stops beating.
Right.
Somebody freaks out, realizes they're going to find roofies in her system. They're going to find a little rough trade. I've got my hand on her neck. I'm freaking out. I'm effed up. The person's effed up. Now, think about it. The person is loaded. They're not in the right mind because they just had an orgasm. And at that point, it's like, Christ, I got to eat a pizza. I got to get out of here. You know what I mean? Like, you don't even want to be with the people who are alive.
Right.
After your orgasm. Imagine you're hanging with dead people.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, I got to get the F out of here. So you're like, you're not out of your mind. It's like, I'll throw in the lake or something. Like, last thing I want to do is like call the cops and wait down here and deal. And
I think it was a bunch of like 3 or 4 guys. I don't think it was, I think 2 guys were messed up. But I think there were other people they called friends or even relatives.
Right.
And they dealt with it. That's what I think.
All right. Well, let me say bye to Becky. Becky?
Yeah, hi.
Yeah. Hey, Becky, one thing I can tell you, pay attention to your dreams. The most common way that spirits communicate with their loved ones is through dream state.
Yeah, so, I was wondering, how can you tell the difference between, like, contact and wishful thinking when you have dreams?
Well, it depends on the content of what comes through, what kind of information comes through.
Usually it's like, in the dream, I know that he's dead, and I'm really excited to be, like...
But it feels more than a dream. Like, when we have, like, dreams, I call them crossovers of spirit, it feels more than a dream. It feels like there's an essence there. There's something very real about it. Very different than a regular type of dream.
Okay.
All right. All right, Becky.
Thank you.
Okay, Becky.
Thank you.
If you drink malt liquor before you go to sleep, it really helps the antenna.
Oh, I'll try that.
It really clears things up.
You draw those lower level things to you.
I'm more receptive. I end up talking to black people in my sleep. It's awesome. I had an Uncle Lucius that passed away I didn't even know about. Did I tell you about him?
No. But
Awesome story. Yeah. Awesome story. Didn't even know.
Life. Great man.
Didn't even know. Yeah. Well, great. We'll take a quick break. James Von Prague is here tonight. We'll be right back after this. Yeah, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. 1-800-LOVE-191. James Von Prague is here tonight. Drew riddled James with questions during the break. Like, I'm not going to write this fat red book unless people are going to read it. I'm going to need some guarantee.
Tired of our listeners not reading my books.
James is like, you got to follow your heart. F that. I gotta make some money. If I write this book, I'm going to read it.
I don't want to waste my time. People are going to read it.
I read between the monetary lines there. James, write him a note, a promissory note, saying that someone will read his book. More than 8 people will read the book this time if he writes a big fat book, too. Or make a movie. True, do you understand
now
you're
we're
asking James
you
to guarantee
that.
You that someone would read your book? Otherwise, you weren't going to write it?
I know.
You're a man of science. What's wrong with you? Just write the book. James said from the heart. You could help.
That's right.
What I did you, that.
What if you helped?
You didn't even read that one.
Which one? What if you helped one person, Drew? You know
what I'm
saying?
That book's out. I did that book.
When are you going to...
I did
what
that
book
one.
Did you write? What book was that?
Cracked.
Cracked. When's that coming out? I'm going to read that book.
Oh, yes, you are.
When that baby comes out, I'm going to read that baby. All right. When it comes out on cassette form, that's when I'm going
to
read it.
All right. I'll talk to you.
Lola?
Yes.
You're 20?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Okay. Well, I'm a dancer, and I've been a dancer for about a year now, and I'm a pretty sexual person. I like to have sex, like, you know, often, like, you know, sometimes like twice a day. And I'm living with this guy, and he's not really my boyfriend. We were boyfriend and girlfriend a long time ago, and then we broke up, and then we moved back in together, and we tried it, and the relationship thing didn't work. Now we're basically just kind of screwing each other.
Yeah.
And,
okay. All right.
Like, for the last 2 weeks, I haven't been able to have sex. And it's not like that I just can't. I just don't want to, you know?
Right. Are you on any medication?
No. I have an IUD, but I don't think that would affect anything. I've had it for a year, and it's never really bothered me.
No, that won't do anything.
All right. Well, look, here's the thing.
You haven't started some antibiotics or anything?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Well, look, you don't have a relationship with this guy, and eventually women sort of dry up sexually.
Shut down, yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't work for women long term.
It's always worked for me before. I mean, I've been with people before that I didn't have, like, an actual relationship
with. Yeah, you've been with them 9 times, but not for a year and a half.
I also bet that, in fact, given that you're a stripper and stuff, we could, you know, expect that the trauma history is there and whatnot. And what happens when you're that kind of person is when you actually start feeling close to somebody, that's when you no longer can feel sexual. Mm. The sexual part of yourself is sort of split off as something bad that you have to be with a bad boy in order to feel sexual. But when he starts becoming somebody you actually care about, even though it's not a boyfriend, but you actually kind of get a little close to him, you shut down.
Well, also...
because it's healthier.
Yeah, right.
It's healthier.
That's right. You can't stand that.
Also,
right.
Also...
like 90% of the reason that we're not dating. We tried the relationship thing, and then I stopped having sex with him, and I was like, you know... I can't have sex. And it freaked him out. And he was like, well, is there something wrong with me? Am I doing something wrong?
Here we go. So you're back
again.
And I
was like, no. I said, you know, why don't we just take a break now? I said, you go.
No,
you know.
You're freaking out. You're too close to him, Lola. Your dad was an abusive a-hole.
This is not going to work.
Well, maybe. She's on the verge of breaking
through.
Well,
she's not into that. I mean, he's not into the relationship.
No, he is. He just couldn't handle it without the sex.
He is, and he's trying his best, like... he hasn't been out sleeping with anybody. He hasn't had any girls over, you know.
Wow.
He doesn't go out.
So Walter Raleigh is living with her. That's nice.
Oh. Chivalry is not dead. He's banging them out on the porch. He's not bringing them into the house.
That's nice.
Awesome.
All right, look, I recommend you try to hang in and maybe recommit to this and try to be sexual with this guy and go with those feelings and see what happens.
All right, but let me say this. The whole part about the friends with benefits, the maintenance
never
program,
works.
Whatever. Well, who breaks it off?
Yeah,
the woman.
Right.
If it were up to guys, these things would go on for 30 years.
Yes.
It would never end. Right. It's like no commitment, just regular out of this world sex. The average shelf life of these things is about a month and a half.
Yeah.
It would be 2 decades if it was up to guys. Women... stop this.
Yes,
that's what I'm saying.
There you go.
James Von Prague is here, and I know it's a short break. We pushed up against the top of the hour. We'll be back for a big, long one, though, after this. Hey, everybody. I was going to pay, but now I'm not going to. James Von Prague is here tonight. James has himself a show. Well, he's executive producer of a show called The Ghost Whisper, which is stars Jennifer Love Hewitt and Aisha Tyler. Wouldn't care which one of them I got. You know? Porsche, Ferrari,
if you
want to
come on a set, we can arrange that.
I'd like to do that. Yeah.
They've started filming.
Yeah.
We started this week.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, really? I've been seeing the promos.
We took over Back to the Future Square, you know, Universal. We took that over. Now it's our village.
Friday at 8 o'clock on CBS. It's Friday. Starting this fall.
Yeah.
James, executive producer. Also, you can go to www.vonprague, that's VanPrague.com, and find out what you want about James and communicate with him, not through telepathy, but through typing, which is more difficult for me.
Every Tuesday night we have guest speakers and this sort of thing.
All right. And you have an international audience.
International, all over the place.
And Japan, Looking Beyond, Australia. Which is a book James has penned
teenagers,
as well.
Which I'm going to give away 5 of them.
What region, what part of the world beside, like, I don't know, Haiti, do you think is the most spiritual?
Australia and Brazil. Brazil is incredible.
Brazil?
I've been to Brazil 7 times, and they take this for granted.
Most
people just
open
are born this
for
way.
This stuff?
Most open. They don't think, they feel. You know, our country, they think too much.
Right.
We don't feel as much. In Brazil, they feel.
They feel,
It's very true. In Australia, wild bunch of people.
Oh, really?
I swear to God, they got to be alien. I swear they got to be
alien.
Well,
they're drunk, but Brazilians... I mean, they're just drunk. But Brazilians are spiritual. Australians
are
drunk. Yeah.
I see things in Brazil you would not believe. It's just incredible. Incredible things in Brazil.
Like, what do you mean?
Psychic surgery. The man of God, have you heard about that?
No.
The guy down there? And, yeah,
is that
God.
True? Does that work?
I see stuff
on that every once in a while, but it always looks
phony. I experienced something which was, let me tell you, really wild. And I'm being very skeptical. And I went down there, I was very open-minded. And I had just gotten over an ulcer in my stomach. And I went to the spiritual center there, and they said, I was in a room with like 200 people. And they knew nothing about me. They said, come here. And the surgeon, psychic surgeon, went right to the area where it was. They didn't say a thing. And... did something with his hand that was bleeding, whatever. I looked for chicken parts.
It was bleeding.
Well, it was blood, plasma, or something going on.
Right.
I was looking for chicken parts. I was looking for anything. Right. I didn't see anything. It went right to the area, and...
What was on your skin after he removed his hand?
Like someone pinched it, like that sort of thing, so there was a mark that remained.
Right.
But there was also some kind of plasma type of stuff.
Right. And then what?
Reddish water. And that was it. I never had a problem with an ulcer after that. Never. went off my meds. It was fine, and there was nothing wrong after
that. But isn't a lot of the cause of the ulcer your condition, your mental condition?
A lot of things. Well, it's digestion, it's mental things, a lot of things.
But if you think somebody fixed your problem, maybe they did, if it's an ulcer.
If it worked,
well, that's what I'm saying. True. What do you think? You're a man of science. You were a man of science before you started picking James' brain about your book. You've been demoted.
That's possible. It's possible it's a placebo effect, you're sure?
Well, I don't know. Ulcer.
Yeah.
It's not gonna get rid of a tumor.
Right.
There's a place at Abigiani in Brazil, which is near Brasilia, and there's a man of God, Primetime Live did a whole thing on him.
Yeah, I saw that.
You saw that?
Yeah.
I met the guy. It was wild. This is the guy I'm telling you about. It was wild. This was years ago, like 10 years ago, I went down to see him.
Hmm. And his title is Man of God?
Yeah.
Because I'm going for Vicar of Christ. I want you to call
going
it the vicar.
It. You got it.
Well, I got the vicar.
Got the vicar.
Yeah, I didn't copyright it. That would be awesome. You know, it would be great publicity. The Pope, the Vatican forgets to copyright.
You get it.
Trademark Vicar of Christ. And so I do it, and I register it, and now I sue the Pope for using Vicar of Christ. And I sue the Vatican. I close now. How quickly would I be shot, by the way, by all the religious? Like, here's a great. How long would it take a good religious person to put a bullet in my head? Think about that. Yeah, no, I trademarked the Vicar of Christ. No, Pope can't use it. You understand? Or if he does, I get $10 every time.
Yeah, that's all.
He makes an appearance.
Just a
yeah.
deal. All right.
Durex. That's all I
oh,
have.
Oh, Durex. Oh, yeah. Durex. Speaking of money, that we don't get paid. One lucky person tonight will win the Durex party pack. Now, what you get with this party pack is you get CDs, you get a poker set, you get money, and you get some Durex condoms. So you got the weekend all hashed out. Each night this week, I'm going to decide. Drew, you remind me because I'll forget.
Okay.
James, you could do that too. Best call of the night, and they're going to win the party pack. Winner must be 18 years or older. Brought to you by Durex. There's sex, and then there's Durex. All right. Now, let's talk to Nita, 59, a little out of our demo. But we're open, aren't we, sweet spirit? What's up, Anita?
Hello. Yes, I'd like to know if you have any messages from my son, deceased son.
What's his name?
David.
David.
Now, he passed away?
Yes, 2 years ago.
What happened?
He was pushed off a cliff. And
by a friend?
Yes.
Mm-mm.
As far as we know. Anyway.
Well, I think it was a friend or someone that knew him, I feel. And I feel there was some kind of drinking or something was, it feels like drinking or drugs, because it's like his head space seems very screwed up. I feel very, but again, putting you through this sort of thing with him. There's a dog over there with him.
A dog. Okay.
Was there a dog that was lost? Like a family dog years before that he knew of?
Yes.
Because there's a dog there with him, and that's what I'm picking up.
Okay.
You get to bring your pets?
Yeah. Hello. Did. They survive.
Yeah. Oh, my wife's going to be through the roof. I realize Molly can join her.
Didn't
you
know
what
he's thinking?
You're driving me insane. Yeah.
But he watched. He keeps. I'm feeling sorry from him. I feel a sense of being very sorry.
Uh huh.
And doesn't want you to be upset about him because he's alive. He's not dead.
Okay.
Why do you still have like this big thing in your living room about him with his picture and like this whole monumental thing going on there?
Yes, I do.
And there's religion involved here too. Like, I feel like candles and religious, and I feel like flowers, and you put the flowers there all the time. And
you
understand this? Like in the pictures, and he's like, enough with the pictures. He's all right. Enough with the pictures. Enough with the photographs. You understand?
What do you want?
And
to do?
And you
got to
forgive
the
father. You got to forgive his father. He said. You understand that?
Okay.
You understand that with the father?
No, I'm not sure about that.
There's something about his father. You got to forgive his father, or his father's feeling not right.
Where's the dad? Is it you guys still? Yeah.
Are you not together?
Yeah. We live together. Yeah, he's my husband.
Have you been blaming the dad?
No.
Well, is this a sense of emotionally, like you're separated emotionally?
Hmm.
A little bit, yes.
All right. Well, how old? And did you say your son was 15 when he passed away?
No, 23.
Oh, 23.
Uh-huh.
All right. And what was the story? What did happen?
Well, he was with a friend at his apartment, and they had been drinking, and they there was a 40-foot cliff or something off the back of their apartment, and the boy, the other friend of his, apparently climbed the fence, and my son was talking on the cell phone to his girlfriend, and he says, "Oh my God," he says, "Chris is on the other side of the fence," so apparently he went to join him and to try to talk to him to come back. To get, you know, because there was a 5-foot ledge there before the drop off into Lake Erie, And as far as we can tell, his friend said that his friend told us that the friend fell first. He slipped, and he never saw our son again. But our son was missing for 6 days, and
he survived. The friend survived, though.
The friend survived. Yes.
Yeah. I got to. There was a fight beforehand. There was some kind of an argument, and a fight. I'm telling you, I see it, and I feel very much like a push. I feel like there was an argument.
Okay. Well, so the friend went into Lake Erie.
Well, the friend didn't quite go in. He ended up on the ledge and broke some bones, but our son apparently fell into Lake Erie. Yes.
Were they fighting over a girl?
No, they each had separate girlfriends.
Well, did the girlfriends know each other?
No.
Yeah, see, there's some connection.
How does that work? The roommates have girlfriends that don't know each other.
There's some connection. No, there's some connection. I'm telling you right now.
Okay.
Well, look.
He's around you. There's no such thing as death. So believe it or not, he's around you. You got to send him some love. I feel like he feels very guilty about how he left like that and left you that way.
Right.
And I just get a sense that he wants you to live. You know, you have to live your life.
Would they ever bring any charges against a roommate or anything like that?
No, they felt it was accidental.
And you don't feel that way?
No.
No, I don't think
James.
So either. Not at all.
I wrote a book
which I had a copy called Healing Grief. It's a very good book about people who lose children and people who lose partners and parents. It would really help you. There's exercises in there. There's, grief.
Book.
You have the grief. Okay, so that'll help you.
Mediums don't ever talk to people on the other side who are saying, hey, I want you to kill yourself and come over and join me?
Not the right thing to do.
Or you need to die and join. I wish you'd come over here and join me. No one ever says that.
No, yeah.
Not the right thing to do.
You miss your mom. There's a way to reunite. You know what I mean?
Come join me with the dog.
Yeah.
They never
That'd
say
be
that.
My thing.
No, because that's not the right thing to do. Because they have to live their life out. I mean, we're here for a reason. We're here for as long as we're supposed to be
here. I know, but the person that passed over may want to be reunited with a girlfriend or something.
There's also
a
difference in your outlook on life and death when you pass out of the physical dimension.
Yeah.
It's a whole different way of looking at things.
I imagine the pressure's off. You know what I mean?
But then you create some more pressure with the way you lived your life. You didn't live your life a good way. You lived a very bad way. You have to... No. Judge yourself and go through
the whole... Am I going to have to take Ambien when I'm on the other side?
They'll be help for you.
Okay. I just don't want to stress out on the other side.
You won't.
I want to relax. I want my TiVo. Drew, you got to kill my TiVo and send it with me. You understand?
That's like El Cabong. I'll just hit you over the head with it.
With the TiVo? Yeah. We'll both go?
Yeah.
I'm with you. I love my TiVo.
I'll be walking around with the TiVo attached to my head. All right, it'll be awesome. All right. And don't program it. I'll handle
that.
Adam
with a big TiVo.
Yeah. Oh, almost.
Like a satellite over his head.
Almost had a little TiVo trouble the other night. I was wife was out of town for a couple of days, so I was cruising through Playboy. Found Viva Ron Jeremy in Las Vegas,
and God.
I decided to do that. Forgot about it, and then noticed it was still floating around today.
She got home?
No, I found it.
Oh.
I found it first. Point is, you got to watch out. That TiVo, that's a diary for dudes. You know what I mean? That's your diary. But we know exactly what you're up to and what you're into. You bust into a single guy who's got a TiVo,
oh man,
we'll read you like a book. You don't have to be James Prague to find out what's going on.
Give James some props for that, the living room with the flowers and the pictures.
No, well, who doesn't do that?
Oh, come on.
Everybody does that. Look, here's the deal, James. I'm gonna put my skeptical hat on. People that call...
You're a skeptic. Come on.
People that do make these kinds of phone calls are the kinds of people that have the shrines. When you grieve, that's what you have.
No, that's not true, because there are people that don't want to see it, think about it, or know about it, and they put everything out of their house. I mean, I've had all different types of people.
1 out of 10, but 9 out of 10,
well,
and you play the odds, 9 out of 10 are going to have
the shrine.
We can
rationalize anything we want,
well,
really.
I just mean the shrine thing, and the parent blaming the roommate. Always the grieving parent is going to blame whoever's nearest to the son. Son got drunk, son climbed over the fence.
To a degree.
Son jumped over the thing or fell over the thing or whatever. They're always going to blame whoever was around the son.
Mostly, you know what I find? Mostly, Adam, they blame themselves.
Well, parents. That too, possibly.
Like I've had situations where the kid dies in a car crash, and the parents are like, I knew they shouldn't have driven that car.
Right,
I should have said, there's nothing you could have done. There's nothing you could have done. I mean, what can you do? Stand there in front of the car? You can't do that.
Well, here's the other.
But that's a common thing that they feel guilty too.
Here's the thing. Well, a couple
survivor
things.
Guilt.
First off,
survivor guilt, right?
Here's the thing. Whenever somebody leaves for the airport, comes back to the airport, gets in a car for a long drive, goes out to do, I'm going to go do some hiking or something. Everyone has a flash in their head of, oh my goodness. But
what if?
But it rarely comes to fruition. Then, once in a blue moon, the unthinkable happens, and it does, and the person says, "I knew it." But what you don't realize is you had that flash There's not a time.
So I think things, okay, so let's look at it this way. When things happen, maybe part of who you are, you can see things before they happen. So maybe outside of this three-dimensional world, there's no such thing as time. So a part of you is there, so you can see the future, the past, the present. You know what I'm saying?
Just no, says, what I'm, maybe I'm, that's a flash. I'm saying just the opposite, which is I don't think there's a time you drop your wife off or your kids off at the airport and don't have a flash of let's hope they arrive safely.
Yeah, it's common.
And a little flash, the sort of unthinkable flash. And then if it does happen, the person says, aha.
I knew it.
I knew it. They don't realize the other 100 times they dropped it at the airport, they had that thought. Now, you have more than that.
But there's a there's a difference in that. So, for instance, some most common like intuition things, people think about someone, 5 minutes later the phone rings, it's that person they were thinking about. Right. So what is that? Is that a coincidence or is that like intuitive?
Right.
I think it's part of an intuitive communication, telepathic communication, whatever you want to call it. There's something going on there.
Yeah, well, I also believe that your mind can sort of send you reminders without sending you reminders. Like, you haven't heard from this person in a while. Wait a minute, the person owed me a phone call from yesterday. There's little sort of prompters that are involved.
So there's thought involved. So
there's thought involved.
So you're sending out that thought.
Yeah.
So let's the other person might be able to pick up on that thought that you have. Maybe they're picking up on it.
Yeah, I don't. I sort of believe it's a.
I think that's what it kind of is.
It's a mixture of things. There is that element, right. And there's also an element of if you go back and examine it, you'll realize, well, the person was on your mind because you were supposed to go out with them the day before, and they didn't call, and you were expecting it. And you know, there's those elements.
Could be. I think it's all different things. I mean, you can't just put it into one little box.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of factors involved.
Well, here's the thing. You're smart because whatever theories I have wouldn't make a goddamn penny if I wrote a book about it. That's the thing.
But for you, that's how you look at it, and that's your reality. And that's true.
I know. It's
that's
my penniless reality.
Now that's valid, and you.
I know it's valid. It's just that there's no denomination that follows my validity. It sucks. Stephanie?
Hello, yes.
You're 29?
Yes, hi. How are you, Adam?
Yes, I'm good.
You're so cool.
Are you uncertain about your future?
Yeah, I was just wondering if James could just kind of do a little psychic reading about just the future, the job he sees me, going into. And
okay, just give me your name and your birthday.
May 29th.
Same as you, Adam.
May 27th.
I'm
75. Oh. Stephanie.
Stephanie is your name?
Mm-hmm. Yes. May 29th. Thank
you. Are you going to junior college right now? Because I could give you a quick reading.
Just based
on
that.
All right.
There's a move coming, like a physical move, like a location of where you're living. There's definitely a change here, really strong.
Mm.
I mean, it's, generally speaking, but that's what I'm getting.
Stupid, because you live in San Francisco.
Well, what about in terms of my academic?
19 or 19?
29. I was 29. 29.
Are you working in this?
Yeah.
I just feel like there's a man, like a boss who's a male figure around you.
My boss is a male figure.
I don't like him. I don't trust him. I don't like him.
Mm.
And I feel like he has something else, like he's not giving you complete truth, that there's something else going on. I also feel there's a coworker on your same level, and that he looks at that person more than you for something else. I don't think you're going to stay there very long. I'd say 4 months, and then you're out of there.
Poor guy screwed.
But you also have two other things going on. What do you do at night? Is there a night thing going on here? Like a thing about doing something work at night or?
No, actually, I don't work at night, but I study at nighttime.
Because it's something at night, you're going to be doing like a temporary gig or something at night.
What are you studying?
I'm studying I'm hoping to go into pharmacy school.
Oh, really? Well, your English is way too good to be a pharmacist. You couldn't work
Asian.
In Southern California. Yeah, I know, but you're Asian, but you have good English. You couldn't work out here. Here, if you want to come out to L.A., the pay is great, but you have to not be able to understand the pharmacist. You understand? There's good Baltic republics and things like that where people come from places I've never heard of.
Armenia.
Crazy, it's just crazy nationalities with no understanding whatsoever. And the only thing you should be able to understand is when they're having conversations in their native tongue and I need my Ambien when they give me the stink eye. That's a universal. That's a universal thing. You understand? So, Stephanie, don't move to Los Angeles, okay?
Yeah.
You're renting an apartment now?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah. What's going on? Is there a problem there with the landlord or something? Or something's not right with the apartment?
Actually, it's working really well.
Hey, who lives in the corner? Do you live in a corner apartment? Is there a corner of the building you're in?
It's actually a room.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's something changing with that. I don't feel stable there. I don't feel there's a stability there. There's some of the landlord coming up, too, I don't like.
Hmm.
Sorry, I mean, I'm just telling you what I get. That's what I feel.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, but what if...
I also feel you got to stabilize, like, your emotional self, because I feel you're all over the place. And I feel like you really want a relationship, but it's not happening, and it's not, you're not ready for it right now. But you got to know what you want. Just someone who doesn't know what you want in a relationship.
Stephanie, what do you do during the day?
I work as a pharmacy tech.
And how is your boss?
Fine. I actually don't see him at all.
How's his English? Like any English at all?
Perfect English.
Perfect English. What is it? Is that that's his second language, though, right?
No, it's his. No, English is his first language.
Just a white guy who does pharmacy, works at pharmacists.
See, I don't trust him.
Yeah, that's why I shouldn't be. Stephanie, just regular guy. Guys like just a white guy who is a pharmacist.
Oh, don't trust him.
Don't. Well, what's his nationality?
Caucasian.
Really? Mm-hmm. Wow, I got to move up to San Francisco.
He's not a real pharmacist.
He's not a real pharmacist. Shouldn't be trusted. He's an imposter. Somewhere there's a Croatian guy, fat Croatian woman, is tied up in the closet somewhere. Angry, surly, mid-50s, big calves, short hair, very angry, very angry.
He's
that's,
what?
That's I get What'd angry. That's what I get.
He's
impatient.
What, Stephanie?
He's what?
What? What was that?
Stephanie, all right. First off,
Stephanie's got that beat.
Either
thing.
Stephanie does not have a good phone line, or she doesn't track.
Yeah,
she doesn't.
She's a pharmaceutical person. She's working.
It could be the emotional thing that you're talking about. She may not be tracking well.
Yeah,
Stephanie. Stephanie. Are you hearing us clearly?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was trying to. Hello.
Well, that wasn't an answer. Okay. Are you hearing us clearly or not?
It's easy to hear dead people.
Now I am.
Okay, whatever. She's going to make a great pharmacist. Because
you're right.
She's. I'll tell you. In my evaluation, I evaluate pharmacists who work the L.A. area. I would be like, you know, the English is a nine, and that's going to hurt you. That's a strike. Your English is pretty good, which is bad, but your inability to track or understand what people are asking is strong. Perfect. That's the hand you got to play. Very strong in that department. Yeah. Then I would convene with the other people that didn't speak English, and I would say, no, she's good. I would say, let's see if we could screw up the English a little bit more and focus on the part where you have no idea what the person in front of you is asking. Okay? Oh, and here's some good tips. When the person tells you how to spell their name, ask them 6 times. That's good. Yeah. What's your last name? King? What is King? K. What? C? No. And then get confused and then go answer the phone. That's what. Drew, what is it with pharmacists in this area?
I don't know, but I've had that experience. And when you're giving complex orders, it gets a little weird. Like, it's scary, really.
Here's my feeling about a pharmacist. We've worked this out, haven't we? They were doctors in their native land, wherever that is. But because of the language barrier, they can't do that here, but they're so highly educated, that's where they turn to. Yes?
I don't know.
Or maybe they're just gobbling up the drugs.
I have a good question for you. How much, Drew, do you find in pharmaceutical companies influence doctors?
I don't think as much as people think they do. I think for the most part, most doctors don't see pharmaceutical reps. And when they do it just to get the samples for their patients.
Right.
Because the patient, you can save patients thousands of dollars. So if you spend a minute and a half with a pharmacy rep, you get some medication that you already are planning to use. You already know you need it. That's why you're spending that time with the rep.
Is it changed from the old days of the golf tournaments handing and everything?
Yes,
it's very tight now, isn't it?
Now it's tighter for them. The doctors are fearful of violating ethical boundaries with even talking to them. Yeah. So they just don't talk to them.
Yeah.
So
all right.
Yeah.
I'm going to say something. I don't know. It just popped in my sweet-spirited head. I was watching, using my wonderful TiVo tonight, and I was watching 60 Minutes from last week, 3-4 days ago. I don't know if you guys caught it, but I just...
Is that after the Ron Jeremy film?
They were in between, actually. Yeah. Refractory period.
Yeah.
Get into that later. Chewed through my T-shirt.
The 60 minutes were extended, the refractoriness.
Yeah.
You need some liquids.
Cool down, call it what you like.
All right.
The cool down.
Point is they were, is every third 60 minutes episode is, how horrible this country is. And a lot of it is, you know, a lot of these stories of what we're doing to find out information about terrorists, and what we do is we have a no torture policy when it comes to extracting information from terrorists. So we send them somewhere else to be tortured. And they get all sanctimonious and heavy-handed, and they get all high on their horse. It's like, well, you know, do you think it's right to use force to whatever? And then everyone starts backpedaling, which is stupid. Well, we knew nothing of this when they knew everything of it. And they never turn it around on the guy and go, look, if we had a guy on 910 who had some information, we could have put a cigarette butt out on his forehead and got some news out of him. Mm-hmm. What would you want us to do? Huh?
Right.
I'm asking you, what do you think, jackass? They never do that. They always just they start backpedaling. And so they posed a question to the American who's sort of in charge of this. And the guy basically said, we've gotten a lot of useful information out of these guys through these techniques and, staved off some attacks. And they said, yes, but through torture. Is that all right with you? And the guy said, it's all right with me. And I thought, yeah, good. Yeah. That's right. It's okay. Put the screws to the guys, get some information, and a bus full of kids will live.
Yeah, you didn't break any laws or anything.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, no, that's fine. And I thought, good, that's what we have to do with these pussies. Instead of, like, you start backpedaling, they get momentum, and the next thing you know, you're cornered. Yeah, we send them to a country. They got techniques. They don't got laws like we got over there. They extract the information. We stop terrorist attacks. That's fine. That's how we do it. That's why we're doing it, by the way. The reason it's okay with me is...
It works.
That's what we're doing. Yeah. He just said, yeah. He said, look, I'm interested in stopping terrorist attacks, so it's fine with me. Good. And then the other guy was speaking. He had nothing. What are you going to say?
Of course.
Pussies. I'm just saying.
Take a break.
Just stand up, everybody. Someone wants to know if it's okay with you, if you put a screwdriver on a guy and get some information? Fine. That's fine. That's what they do to us. Fine.
Oh, are you kidding? What would they do?
That's the other thing, too. You know, you watch, it's like, you watch 60 Minutes 2 weeks earlier, and it's like, oh, Guantanamo Bay, a female interrogator took one of the men they're interrogating, put his hand on her breast. It's like, yeah. Is that a big deal? You know what I'm saying? Send me to Guantanamo Bay so I can cop a feel. Wait, by the way, we call that getting to second base, not torture. That's torture? In high school, I pay for that crap.
The torture is he's not able to go beyond.
Torture is I couldn't get under the bra. Right. That's the torture. It's over the sweater. Yeah, they make a big deal over it. And the person they're talking to is like, well, I'm going to look into this immediately. The person would be going, listen, anyone who's had battery cables hooked up to their nuts knows what torture is. This ain't it. And let me ask you, you're getting tortured. What do you go with? You go with the electrocution of the genitals, or you go with the hand on the boob? What do you go with? Yeah, so shut up. No one ever does that. It's like, oh, meeting, I'm looking at this.
Shut
your pie hole, everybody. We'll take a quick break. James Von Prague here tonight. We'll be right back after this. Yeah, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. James Von Prague is here tonight. He's freaking me out. Someone's going to break into my house. Awesome.
You don't have to publicize it.
All right. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Do we do this Direx thing?
Yeah.
All right,
good. You haven't picked the call yet.
Well, you pick it, Drew. You find out. We don't have to pick it till the end of the night.
That's right. Take Andrea real quick.
We'll check Andrea?
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Andrea, 23.
Hi.
What's up?
I have a question for Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
I was diagnosed with vulvodynia vestibulitis.
Mm-hmm.
And
what's that?
Well, it's two different diagnoses. Vulvodynia just means painful external genitalia. And vestibulitis is a specific diagnosis that causes vulvodynia. Mm-hmm. And it's in the class of the stuff that on this show
sexual abuse
is often associated with sexual abuse. And I don't know if you had that, Andrew, or not, but the only treatment that's ever been shown to be useful for vestibulitis per se are antidepressant medicines, things
topical
like that.
Coke.
Really?
Oh. Yeah.
Wow.
Which I'm on right now.
You're on an antidepressant.
I'm on amitriptyline.
Psychic.
Yeah, are you a sexual abuse survivor?
No, I've never been sexually abused. Mm. It just started like a year ago, and I was under a lot of stress at the time with school and family and relationship stuff.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if it was stress related or...
Oh, it sure is. There's a definite, that's why antidepressants, possibly one of the reasons it works, because there is sort of a central nervous system component to this thing. But I got to tell you, there usually is some kind of, no one inappropriately touched you or anything.
Source.
Like
there's a source where it begins somewhere.
Yeah. What do we need to know? Anything?
No.
Any kind of abuse? Physical abuse?
Nope, nothing that, I mean.
You have a brother? Do you have a brother?
No.
Mm-hmm. No. Just only child?
Dead,
or you have a
younger sister.
Younger sister.
Yeah.
Stepdad? Regular dad?
Regular dad.
She doesn't give off.
No, right. I don't get that.
I don't get an ounce. No. Like, see, if we're hearing it in your voice, we would be really digging, but I'm not hearing anything. You sound
so
very
maybe it's
normal.
An anxiety symptom for you, or maybe there is some inflammation there.
Could be equestrian
I'll tell you one thing that, are you on birth control pills?
Yes.
I'll tell you one thing that doctors overlook very, very often, and it sometimes gets pushed off as vestibulitis, is you can get what's called an atrophic vaginitis from the birth control pills. There's something called Vagifem, a little intravaginal suppository you take once a week that takes care. I'd urge you strongly to try that because the progesterone in the birth control pill sometimes blocks the estrogenic effects at the external genitalia, and just putting some estrogen down there takes care of it. And you may not even have vestibulitis. You may have what's called atrophic vaginitis. All right?
Would that be...
I
went to many different doctors, and they gave me estrogen cream to put
in. Yeah, did it work at all?
It didn't work.
Mm-hmm. How long did you use it for?
I don't know, a couple weeks, and then I went to this other doctor, and he said that it had nothing to do with why I'm in the pain.
Well, I understand, but that these are not, did you have biopsies of the area?
No.
Yeah, it's not something you can necessarily sort out just by looking. So I would go back to the estrogen cream for a month or so, frankly.
Do you have a boyfriend?
Yeah.
And I would change my birth control pill, too. I tried different pills, see if it made any difference.
I tried that, too.
Yeah.
Do you have a boyfriend?
Yes, I do.
All right. I know I asked you earlier and you answered, but our phone lines are horrible.
How's that going? I know. Is that going okay, that relationship?
It's going good now. At the time it started, it wasn't going so good. So it's kind of why I wondered if it was stress or maybe, I don't know, there was, cheating going on. So.
Uh-oh. What's your stress?
My stress?
Yeah, the truth.
I'm in school, and I was taking really hard classes. My sister was getting in trouble using meth, having a lot of family issues.
What's going on? No one hit you when you were growing up? You never had that kind of problem?
No.
So what are the family
issues?
What's
going on with your sister doing the meth?
Yeah.
I don't know what her problem is. And everything started right around then. She was caught, with theft. She stole $700 worth of stuff from the mall, and then
what's your dad do? Is he a cop?
No, my boyfriend is though.
Sweet spirit speaking to me.
Psychic Adam.
I've smelled cop.
What does your dad do?
He's a mass spectrometer. He works at the university in the chemistry department.
Wow,
I knew it. That's my next one. Is master spectrometer. Mass spectrometer. He's the guy, the thing with the lightning bolts that comes out of it, and he's a mass.
Jacob's ladder.
Mad scientist. What the hell? The hell does he do?
The mass spec machine.
He works the mass spectrometer? Yeah. What is that? What does that do?
That's interesting.
Chemistry.
All right, Andrea.
Mm-hmm.
You're, I'll tell you, your family's got range, because your dad's working the mass spectrometer over at the college, and your sister's scoring crack.
Right.
I was suspicious that maybe more going on in your family than you really realize, but whatever. There's the emotional overlay, could be an estrogenic effect, could be related to the birth control. There's a lot of possibilities here.
Can I just throw something else at you, Andrea?
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about that you have to live up to a certain expectation of your family?
Oh, yeah.
Excuse me?
There's a sense that you have to live up to a certain expectation of your family, what they expect of you.
I would have to say that I'm more of the overachiever, and I felt I had to... live up to that, and
I think that's an element of this also. I think that's an element of that. That's stress related with this expectation, what's expected of you with your family. Just be yourself.
Book called Drama of the Gifted Child. You may want to check that out.
Mm-hmm. All right. What's that thing called?
Drama. Oh.
No, mass spec. What do they do with that thing?
Identify chemicals, basically.
All right. Andy.
Yep.
That's weird. I got cop.
Yeah.
But I was thinking her dad was a cop.
Yeah, so you're good. You're a sweet spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go ahead, Andy. You're 23.
Yeah, I had just wanted to talk to first of all, hello, Adam, Dr. Drew, and James Van Prague.
Hey, Andy.
I used to love your show when it was on. I'm sorry they took it off.
Well, thank you. Watch the new one. It'll be good. Ghost Whisperer.
When's it going to be on?
September this year. It'll be on 9 o'clock on Friday. I'm sorry, 8 o'clock Friday nights.
CBS.
CBS.
Okay. I'll be sure to look for it.
Yeah, Jennifer will do it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Excuse me. My question is pretty much, I'm going to pretty much start getting the medical field for my career. and I just don't know which route I want to go. I mean, I'm starting at the basics. And I
think therapist.
Therapist.
People. You're good with people, and I feel like there's some psychology or therapy type of working to get involved in. It's more than the medical part. I feel like more with people-oriented.
Okay.
And I also feel travel with it, too, so there's going to be some therapy and people.
You can be a rambling therapist.
A rambling therapist. Isn't that what y'all do?
It's a group. You're in front of a group, like you're doing seminars, stuff like that. It's good for you, but I feel like there's more years involved in it than the training part of it than you're anticipating.
Okay.
Well, what were you thinking about doing?
Actually, I was thinking about either PA or RN. But I do have actually the skills to work.
Well, RN can be teaching. Yeah. I can teach anything, too.
Yeah, what about, I get mass spectrometer. Is that anything?
No? That was my third choice. That was my third spec.
I see you doing some more psych stuff.
No.
Well, he said it very sincerely.
Mass spectrometer, yes.
Yeah.
All right,
that wasn't your third choice, was it?
What's that?
No.
Okay. I mean, he sold it. He said, that was my third choice.
See, there you go. People skills. It's right there.
I like That's psychology right. for you.
You made me laugh. I like you made psychology. Me feel good about myself. I feel like I can open up to you.
Oh, thank you very much. Hey, you know, I could charge by the hour, too. $2.
All right, buddy.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Adam.
Right. The Peanuts Gallery. Peanuts comic strip here.
Yeah.
Lucy.
All right, let's take a little break, shall we?
Yeah, let's do.
James von Prague is here tonight. He's got a book out called Looking Beyond. He's got a TV show coming out called The Ghost Whisperer. He's got a website, www.vonprague.com.
What do you have, Andy, the Durex thing?
Oh, was he gone?
Gone.
Yeah. All right, there you go. Snooze, you lose. Take a quick break. Be right back after this. Hey, it's Loveline. I can barely... Is our engineer Todd?
Yeah.
I can barely hear him when he cues me in. I think that's
there
the
you go.
There he goes.
There you go.
Hey, everyone. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. James von Prague is here tonight. Got a little show coming out in the fall called The Ghost Whisperer. Got some hot chicks in there. Jennifer Love Hewitt, Aisha Tyler. Wish him luck on that.
I also do lectures all over the country. People want to know about San Francisco, Seattle's coming, Denver's coming up. They go to my website. They have great, seminars.
What are the big cities for this sort of thing in this country?
Phoenix is number one.
Really?
Phoenix is number one.
They want to be biggest inside. Fan they want to figure out a way to be inside. Yeah. Listen to things.
It's something wild there with the land. Then California.
Oh, really?
And then New York is third, and then Chicago. Phoenix, and then...
It's weird,
Arizona.
I was just there last week.
That's weird because I would think, well, that's for the psychic stuff, but if you go to Louisiana, you got a lot more going on there.
Yeah, you got the voodoo, you got the black, dark magic, light magic, a lot of stuff.
I don't think it's...
Very haunted place.
I think over there, though, it's like, why do we need to pay a guy to tell us what we already know? Yeah. I got a ghost living
in my
house.
Like Brazil.
Yeah, it's like Brazil.
It's like a tradition there, too. It's exactly. But, different cities have different energy, so it'll attract different types of elements. So that's right.
But the people are most into it, and you said Phoenix?
Yeah.
Wow.
Very much. Like Sedona and Phoenix, sure, they're very into it.
Well, Sedona, I can see that. Certainly California. Lily?
Yes.
You're 18?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, there's a lot of stuff. Okay. I've been engaged for about 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
To a guy, I'm not going to say his name.
You're 18. How old is he?
He's 19.
No. Yeah, he already sounded depressed. It already sounds like a disaster.
Not good.
What's up?
Well, I just found out that... See, he's homeless now. I didn't know that whenever we first got together because he told me that he was living with a friend.
Yeah, you're supposed to be able to smell the homeless. Sweet spirit.
He didn't smell dirty. But,
showered at the beach.
And then now I'm pregnant, and he's homeless.
Rude.
Again.
All right. Well,
I found out the reason why he's homeless is because he was beating on his mom and sister.
All right. What's the question?
Mom and sister.
What's the question?
This is comically bad. By the way, you're going to win the Durex party pack.
Yes.
I wish I'd gotten you those condoms just a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
But feel free to start using them.
Yes. Yeah, I should have.
What's your question? You won the Durex pack. Now what else can we help you?
I mean, I don't know if I should keep this baby or not.
Have you had any counseling, any prenatal counseling yet?
He won't go.
No, you. Forget about him, Lily. Forget about him.
He's gone.
Yeah, he is toast.
He's gone.
You got to throw yourself on the mercy of the system and get some assistance, some help, and figure out what to do with this. Come on.
Yeah.
And what's going on
with
you?
Phoenix?
Huh?
James is going to come speaking at the armory.
You're too smart to go through this.
Well, what are you doing?
What do you mean?
Well, you're getting pregnant by homeless guys who are abused their mom and sister.
They just haven't gotten around to you yet.
Yeah. What's up?
Like, I don't know. He's...
No, we're not talking about him. We're talking about you. What's up with you?
You got to get rid of this kid, by the way. You got to do something with this kid. You're going to screw this kid up.
Please, adoption for the child.
How about adoption?
I don't know how to get away from him.
From the homeless guy?
Make a call to social services or Department of Mental Health. Go get some assistance. Talk to somebody there, and they will help you disconnect from this guy. Okay? All right. Help you with the child and what to do with that. And we'll hang out. We're going to give you this new pack. Maybe the $50 will help her.
Yeah. And look, Lily, let's not have this call a year from now. You know what I mean? Don't make this mistake again, because you're only 18. You got 4 or 5 more of these in you.
Yeah,
if you keep going down.
Let's turn
down
it
this
around
path.
Now. It's 18. I know you're suffering deeply. There's a lot of pain here.
Right.
Let's turn it around. You're capable of that.
Start loving yourself more, not someone else. Love yourself. Now's time for loving yourself.
All right, Lily.
All right.
Hold on.
Let's talk to... Who want to talk to? You want to talk to James?
6.
This James?
Yeah.
James?
Yeah.
You're 19?
Yeah.
Question for James?
Yeah. Question was to James. James.
Hey, James. Good name.
Yeah, isn't it?
What's up?
I wanted to know, like, I've been dating this girl for about 6 months, and then we split up, but we're still kind of, like, talking, you know? And I've known her for 4 years, and she's telling me, like, just trust me, wait, you know, it's worth it. She wants to get back together.
She wants to marry you, right? She wants to marry you?
Oh, my God, yeah.
That's all in her head is marriage. There's marriage on this girl's head.
Yeah.
I'd give it a couple more years, because there's also some college stuff going on, like university stuff. And
yeah, EMT.
Yeah,
no,
you're going to be an EMT.
Yeah, I'd give it like 2 years.
2 years? Wait 2 years?
I'd wait 2 years, fill things out, see what happens. She's got to be patient.
Yeah, you're 19. You have the greatest excuse in the world.
I don't want to get married right now.
She's
no way.
Pressuring.
No, I got a lot of.
No, I understand. I understand that. But here's the thing: we tell people this every night. When you're 19, it's not an option. It's not something that can be brought to the negotiating table. It's just not an option.
All right, you're 19.
You don't have to explain
it's the
why
ultimate
you
out,
can't.
Right?
You show her your driver's license.
Yeah.
That's all the explanation she needs. She doesn't want to be with someone. You should explain to her, you shouldn't want a 19-year-old to marry your ass.
Oh, my God.
19?
And James, don't give your power away so easily. Why would you give your power away? Why would you give it away?
Yeah,
don't be so pressured.
That's all you got.
Why did I give it away?
Yeah, don't give your power away to her. I mean, you can love her, but you don't have to give yourself away.
I fell for her, pretty much that, put it that way. And
all right, but what?
Well, give yourself some time.
I understand. Okay. What's the deal? When you're 19 and she's 18 or she's 19, it's not like you have to break up if you both make it to 20 and you're not married.
Right.
You could date for 5 years. You could see each other. You could live with each other.
Take a break or not.
You could do whatever you want. Yeah.
Discover things about yourself you'd never known before.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
James wants a little time off, though, I think.
Call
her James.
Well, James is doing this thing. I think he's scared he's going to lose her if he doesn't marry her.
Right, but he wants to screw around a little bit before he's got to do his thing.
Well, it doesn't take a second to understand
I'm
that.
I'm just saying. That's
James.
Yeah.
Would you like to see the world? Through the vagina of another woman?
What?
I'm
going
to go in the army and go to Germany.
All right. Oh, well, it's over, baby.
What are you talking about?
Well, for now.
Wait,
for now.
You're going to Germany? Here's the thing. People, you have no idea when you're 19. Look, if you lived in Indiana and she lived in Chicago, this thing wouldn't work.
Right.
If you're going to Germany, forget about it.
For now. No.
You should hope.
Yeah.
Just be smart. Don't go to Germany and be miserable for 9 months and then find out she was sleeping with your buddy when you come back. Just come on. So you got to live your life. Or don't go to Germany.
Right.
Right.
I mean, get a job on a farm, marry her, and start crapping out some kids. That's the whole thing. You can't live the modern lifestyle in the Stone Age of marriage. Like, here's the thing. You want to go to Germany? Fine, go to Germany. Break up. Yeah. Or stay there. Don't do both.
That's right.
And if it's true love, she'll wait for you.
No, you just bought him another 3 years, James. Jeremy?
Yeah.
Hey. You're 20?
Yes, I am, Adam.
What's up?
Long-time listener, huge fan. Adam, you are my idol.
Thank you.
First. Dr. Drew, I recently broke my hand and fractured it. And if you
I love this about people. Fracture and broke, same word. There's no difference. Go ahead.
Right.
I didn't break my fracture.
Well, unless you compound fracture.
Compound fractures, it's sticking out of the skin. Or displaced fracture, meaning the bone isn't lined up anymore.
Oof.
So go ahead.
I tell you, it's been tough times. I've visited 3 or 4 doctors. I've been to the ER and everything. He was telling me, I know I'm going to screw this word up, calcium. He wanted me to take extra calcium. He said eat a lot of ice cream and calcium, I believe.
That's good.
What are some good over-the-counter calcium pills that I could take?
Oh, there's all kinds.
They're really
calcium carbonate, or you can even just take Tums. You could take 8 Tums tablets a day and be great.
It's a bad
calcium
sign
gluconate.
When at age 20 you think you're going to screw up the word calcium.
Yeah.
I know some kind of foreign...
It's all that weed and we could get into that.
Yeah, it's all that medical ease, Drew. You know, that's crazy medical ease here.
I got to use the pain here, guys. I got to use the pain.
Well, calcium... Oh, the pot, I see.
Yeah. All right. I smell junior college.
Sac State.
Not even that. I wish.
Oh, you're working toward junior college.
Oh yes. No, actually, Adam. Do you know what I really want to do? Like my dream job.
Be a
pirate astronaut.
No, not even close. Radio broadcasting.
Well,
take a psychic to know that.
Yeah.
Definitely. Right. You definitely encouraged me to do that.
Well, good. So forget
encourage
about college.
You're speaking to you through the speaker.
Yes. All right, Jeremy. Good luck with your dreams. Look, go to a local radio station, drive the van. That's the way you do it. You'd show up. Don't bother taking any classes.
One more time, Dr. Drew, what was the name of that you said? Just Tums?
Tums. Tums tablets. Or calcium carbonate, about 1,000 milligrams a day.
Why Tums?
Because it's a readily available, cheap...
You just go get a supplement. You just go calcium, right?
Calcium gluconate is actually more available. You can get 1,200 milligrams of that in really...
What do they make? They make it out of shells and stuff, don't they?
Yeah, the calcium carbonate, yeah. Seashells.
Seashells?
Yeah.
Wow.
Hmm.
Seeing oyster shells?
Basically,
just crush them up?
Yeah.
Huh. All right, we're going to take ourselves a little break. James Von Prague is here tonight. We'll be right back after this. Yeah. Well, that's the show, everyone. I want to thank James Von Prague for coming in tonight. Looking Beyond is the name of the book, Teen Guide to the Spiritual World. And also, you can go to www.vanprague.com if you want to find out information about where James is going to be coming to a town near you, or you just want to interact with James. Yes?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Come back anytime, James.
I'd love to.
Yeah, Drew, what are you looking at?
Did you hear what you said about the show?
I plugged the crap out of that Ghost Whisperer.
It's
coming out in the fall, everyone.
CBS, right.
All right. Taryn Manning is coming in here tomorrow night, and also John Singleton from Hustle and Flow is supposed to be really good. So we'll talk to them tomorrow night. Until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Gould. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.